Ron, let's go right out to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline to speak with our friend Steve Blass, brought to you by Terrace Place at Vincentian, redefining retirement living. Steve, how are you?
Well, good. I'm retirement living, so I appreciate Vincentian. just trying to get a grasp on life as we know it now, or don't know it.
Man, it's a different opening day, I think, for everybody. And for you, I would imagine, on several fronts, this is a different kind of opening day than maybe ever before for you, Steve. Yes?
Absolutely. I always look forward to opening day. I mean, from Little League when I was playing and then had a chance to pitch some openers. And it brings back memories. But it's good to see the guys on the field, to be quite honest, so you don't have to go through the whole winter and start from scratch in February. But, I remember opening at Forbes Field in 69 or 70 against Tom Seaver, and we had just come up from Florida, all of us. And he went 9 and I went 10. Neither one of us could walk right the next day. It was cold and rainy. But opening days are special, and it's an honor to have the manager tell you you're going to do that. So it's still special. It'll be special tomorrow night, despite all the circumstances around it. So an opener is an opener. I'm glad to see him on the field.
Steve, is it going to really hit you on Monday night? I mean, everybody would think you'd be used to not having be a part of the game right now, but like everybody else, there has been no baseball. Is it going to hit you tomorrow night that you're really out of it?
Yeah, it did the other night. Even there was no fans in the stands, exhibition game. But I feel left out a little bit, but it was time and it's right. That will ease off. But yeah, I've been part of the Pirates for a long time and part of baseball for a long time. It's in my what do they say, in your DNA or whatever that is. I'm going to miss it terribly, but I thought I could get eased down a little bit and go down to the ballpark and have a hot dog and have a beer and take a grandson. I will do that eventually. We're going to be doing that eventually. But I'm adrift now, and I temper that with the fact that the send-off they gave me last year, coupled with the fact that I can be more helpful to Karen now because she needs me quite honestly because of physical issues. So we're spending more time together. I'm more of a help and support to her. So there's a balance there too. So I'm okay until I see the guys on the ball field. And I went down I went down to the AT&T studios Monday night waiting for Greg. We're going to have our usual beer after a game, and they were still doing it. And you can see in the window the control, like the control truck. And I was like a kid in the candy store, and they said, "Come on in, little boy. I look like an orphan out in the street." And so, yeah, I miss it. I miss it. And I do, and that's all part of it.
Steve Blass on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. I asked Bob Walk this question the other day, Steve, about no fans in the stands and how that affects an athlete. And he said for him as a pitcher, the fans never had much of an effect, although he could imagine it happening like a closer, for instance, feeding off the energy of a crowd. How about you? Do you think fans, do you think fan energy affects an athlete?
Well, I think he makes a good point for a closer because it's so urgent and it's so immediately and so absolute right there in the ninth inning. Once I got into a game, I wasn't aware of the fans too much, but I'll be very honest with you. When I was pitching badly and going through all that stuff, we had just won the World Series, so we still had a lot of big crowds at Three Rivers Stadium, and I was awful. I was just awful. But with 20, 30,000 people at home, it was quiet. And as I remember that now, that means so much to me because in my mind, that meant a lot of people were pulling hard for me, and they weren't going to boo. They knew what was going on. But that silence really, really got to me. And I still remember how tough that was. So, I'm familiar with silence in a ballpark. But when I was pitching good, when I got into a game, it was just a total locked in. You just went on, and there was nothing between just 60 feet 6 inches between me and Sangi. So I've lived both sides of that. But, yeah, Bob makes a good point. You get into a game, but a guy coming in and out of the bullpen, and there's 30,000 people, 20,000 people. Okay, it's absolute. You've got no wiggle room. It's one run, or you got the bases loaded. So, yeah, I don't know if you feed off it. I would think you're certainly aware of it because, tag, you're it. You're in there, and nothing happens till you let the ball go.
Steve, I was at the first game last Saturday night, and it was so strange to watch, just different. I sent a note to Terry Francona, and he goes, I've never been a part of anything like this. It was so weird. What was it like for you watching the game the other night? Did was it bizarre just to watch?
Yeah, it was. I was happy that they were out there, but it was hard to watch because it was so different. I mean, we've never seen anything like that. And I didn't know how to react except for the fact I liked seeing them out there. I tempered everything with that. But I would think as a player, empty stands, and maybe I can make a cut out of myself and just put it in back of one. I've never been able to sit in the executive seats in back of home plate. And maybe I will down the road, but maybe I can just put a cardboard cutout in it and down there and pretend I'm there. But it's crazy. It's crazy, but you're forced to do crazy things right now to maintain some degree of progress toward our regular normalcy, if that makes any sense.
A lot of things going to be different besides the fact that fans aren't in the stands, Steve. Let me ask you about two of those things and your opinions on them. 10th inning, starting with a runner on second base, and the DH universal.
Well, I've never been I'm an old traditionist, an old dinosaur, and I've never been a big fan of the DH. I love to hit. I love to run out ground balls as hard as I could. I'd get a chance to do that once a week, and I was born on baseball, so that was all part of it. A runner on second base, again, that goes against the stuff I grew up with. And I don't rail against it because I can probably imagine back when I started in 1964, the older guys were saying, what is going on with these young kids? Don't they get it? So I don't get too verbal about it, but it's a different world now. I don't run things, and they're trying to figure out what is best going forward. So I leave that to those people, but I don't know if anybody's a big fan of starting a guy at second base. Maybe there are more than I realize, but they're trying to do what they can do. They're trying, and I do respect that.
Steve, are you going to be going to any of the games? I thought part of your job was to be Steve Blass and just show up and welcome people. Are you going to be able to do that at some point once there's people in the stands?
Well, absolutely. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there as soon as I possibly can. I'm going to be down there, whether I'm sitting in a seat or upstairs. It's baseball. It's my game. I don't know much about anything else, so I know something about baseball. So, darn right, I'll be there.
Steve Blass on the Hall and Capitas Fan Hotline, and Steve, Joe Musgrove gets the opening night start. How do you appraise him so far as a Pirate and that choice for him to be the opening day guy?
Well, he did the best job last year, and I like him because I see passion, and he likes being out there. I love guys that love the action. He loves the action, and I'm a Pirate. I'm a baseball Pirate fan, baseball fan, and I would love to see our pitching staff surprise some people because I think they're capable of doing things that some people don't think they're capable of doing. I believe in them. I almost watch Mitch Keller, a kid like that, and think of myself when I was coming up as a rookie trying to figure it out. I knew I had good stuff, but I had to acclimate myself to the whole atmosphere, the whole environment, and be a better pitcher. I think he's heading in that direction, and he's certainly got the arm. So it's figuring out how to pitch, picking out something you want, trusting it, and throwing it what you want, where you want to throw it. So I relate to him. But, if you got Musgrove and Williams and Holland and Mitch Keller, I think they might wind up having a good rotation. If they're capable, it's not guaranteed, but I like their chances. And pitching is the foundation. Let's agree on that. Pitching is the foundation, And yeah, the bullpen is a concern right now. But Kella and Crick, again, you know what they're capable of. And it comes down to the same old philosophy in baseball. How consistent are you? How often do you do it? The good ones do it all the time. The guys that are capable and don't do it often enough. So I look at our pitching staff, and I think that's going to determine what's going to be happening 60 games. And the fact that they're going to be pitching on a regular basis and maybe take something into the off season that they find or believe in or get a little better with, more consistent with, can take them through a season and let them start not from scratch next year, but something that they got under their belt that they can work on and maybe get a lot better with.
Steve, how about your favorite opening day memory? I'm assuming, and I'd have to go back and look, I'm assuming you got an opening day start or two, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I got an opening day. I think I did. I did three of them. I did that one with Seaver. I didn't do the one after I did 73. I didn't do 72 because we had a strike and we opened down the road. I think Doc pitched because, you know, Doc has such a good regular season in 71. It's a thrill. It is. We're going and somebody believed in you and trusted you enough to give you the ball for opening day. So I thought that was a great honor, and to hook up with Tom Seaver, that's pretty cool. They just won the World Series, so 1970 to pitch 10 innings in opening day. It's a great memory.
That's unbelievable. You went 10 and he went 9, so yeah, times have changed. You know, yes.
Yeah, and both of us left with a no decision. But the next day, I talked to him. And the next day, you're not hurt or anything, but coming up from Florida where it had been warm and it was rainy and cold, the next day, you know, you get up in the morning to go to the bathroom. Now I'm in the middle of the night six or seven times, but I got up in the morning. I crawled on my hands and knees to the bathroom. I said, what's wrong? I said, nothing really, except I had a long day yesterday.
Steve, what runs through your mind? I think this new Mookie Betts deal almost equaled your best contract, $365 million extension.
Well, you know, you look at what we're going through in baseball now, and you see wait a minute. hold on. That would be astonishing in the most regular of times. And now what we're going through and trying to get things together as a team, you got to swallow pretty hard to write that check. I think I never made more than $100,000, but I was doing what I love. So I never got caught up in the salaries too much. I know it's a lot about TV money. And you just think that all the things that have been thrown in against baseball, thrown at baseball, and including the salaries and all this, must be a pretty damn good game to just keep on plugging along and making us love it.
Steve, I'm assuming you had a chance to talk to Bob Walk, you know, telling me the other day about how he had COVID-19 and the story behind that. Did you get a chance to talk to him a little bit?
No, I told Mark Garda, my old boss, I said, I don't know, can you catch it over the phone? So I'm going to give him a call now that he's on the other side of it.
He's doing very well, I'll tell you that.
I know, yeah, I get the reports and... Yeah, Bob knows how I feel about him, and I'll be checking in. Him and Lori, he and Lori went through that and went through it okay, and that's the big thing. So yeah, what I traditionally do if the guys open on the road, I give them a call that afternoon. So I'll be calling Bob before the opener.
Steve, let me interrupt just one second, Joe. I mean, we're at the age, and I know you are of the age. I mean. I'm assuming you were cautious and worried about this stuff all the time?
No, at my age, I've had a pretty good run. I'm going to be careful. I wear my mask, and I keep track of the numbers and the percentages and all that. So I can't live my life in fear, but I do think that I have to be careful around other people, and I do. I keep track of that. I never thought I'd have to wear a mask into a bank. I just never thought that was going to happen. Jesse James was pretty good with that, but if you wore a mask into a bank, there'd be issues. But now you wear a mask into a bank.
Steve, we appreciate the time. Steve Blass brought to you by Terrace Place at Vincentian, redefining retirement living. Enjoy opening day. Thank you.
All right. My pleasure, guy. Enjoyed the visit. Thanks so much. Good catching up with you.